All right. Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. Welcome to right here online, and we're just glad that you're here with us today. A week before Palm Sunday, so we're getting ready to get geared up for the Easter season. I appreciate everybody being here, and people are still in the parking lots trying to get in our building here. So just welcome to a beautiful day in Houston, Texas. So hopefully it's beautiful around the world wherever you're listening and watching us this morning. Jerry, good to see you.
Good morning.
My friend, you all right?
I'm all right.
You a happy camper?
One day at a time.
One day at a time. There you go. Make sure you get a kolache and a donut and many kolaches. And the good donut place was open today, so I'm happy. Good to see Robert and Jean. Good morning to you.
You have to call attention to
it. Well, there's that fashionably late people that I always want to make sure everybody in the world knows.
Yeah,
I'm here. We'll start.
Bernice is just thrilled she's not the last one in the building.
We're ready to go, huh, Bernice?
There you go. There you go. Well, good to have everybody. Let's just sing some songs a little bit, and good to see the little ones. Hi, guys. Hi. They're not waving. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Okay. Good to see you all. Okay, let's sing a few.
A little wave at him.
And,
yeah.
I think we're going to do two or three kind of faster ones, and we'll start slowing down, and then we'll have some announcements, and then we'll have the offering and all that fun stuff. So, this is good. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. But we're talking about, trust me, we're trying to look at today with trust, giving him everything, not relying on ourselves to have any ability to do anything except believe in the one that has all the ability. So trust, try, and prove me. Here we go. Bring me all the tithes to the storehouse, all your money, talents, time, and love. Consecrate them all upon the altar, while your Savior from above speaks sweetly. Trust me, try me. Prove me, says the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, a measured blessing, I will not pour out on thee. I have yielded him my life forever, all I ever have or hope to be. Not on earth my hold on him can sever, while I hear him say to me, my child, just trust me. Try me. Through me says the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, a measured blessing, I will not pour out on thee. Trust me, try me. Through me says the Lord of hosts, and see if a blessing, a measured blessing, I will not pour out on thee. I'm doing this song here because we have work day next Saturday, so we need to sing the song "We Will Work Till Jesus Comes," just to give you motivation on a work day next Saturday. Here we go. Oh, land of rest for the eyesight, when will the moment come when I shall lay my armor by and dwell in peace at home? We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes, and we'll be gathered home. So it's feel like we're just working ourselves to death. Right, Robert?
Sure.
Okay. To Jesus Christ I pled for rest. He made me cease to roam and lean for him, comfort on his breast. Till he conducts me home, we'll work till Jesus. I sought at once my Savior's side. No more my steps to roam with Him. I'll break this chilling tide and reach my heavenly home. We'll work till Jesus comes. Gather jewels for the crown above. Some of us do things. So y'all go, did you notice what I've done? Did you notice how good of a person I am? Isn't it just awesome? I filled some eggs and brought it. Or I brought candy. Isn't it just so nice how good I am? That's not what that song's talking about. That's not what the Word of God's talking about. We are gathering jewels for our crown above. And the neat thing about it is Jesus Christ is going to present those to us, and then we get to take them off and go, all glory goes to Him. And you throw it at His feet, because we will cast our crowns at His feet. So God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for being here. We have a few announcements. If you haven't got the little sheet here that Esther works on so diligently, grab it, and we'll just let you know what's happening. Be praying for Karen and her family, the Bowman family, and be praying tomorrow that the service that we have, a private service, that God gives the right words to say to the family that's going to be gathering around the graveside, and getting to see Charlie and for the final time on this side of heaven. So be praying that Karen and the family has the strength. We're praying for Karen. I know she's watching this morning, so we're praying for the whole family. So be with them in a powerful way, and just especially tomorrow. And then you notice there that Saturday, April 24th, and you go, wow, that happens to be Charlie's birthday. So they're having it on Charlie's birthday on April 24th, Saturday, here in the church. That'll be our memorial service time for the church to come and just love on the family and remember a kind man, a good man, a man that loved to eat. And first in line to the buffets. I just love Charlie. Just great to have that. And that'll be Saturday, April 24th at 11 a.m. We also want you to remember Charlie and Debbie Ernst. You know, we prayed last week that Debbie just got news that he was taken off the transplant list. I got a text this morning that he's been possibly put back on, and the doctor's going to meet and find out how things can work on that team. So I hope Debbie's listening here, but keep praying for Charlie and Debbie as they meet with the doctors, and he still needs a lot of strengthening in his body with all the stuff, but they're starting on, and his autoimmune system
situation that caused some of this stuff to happen in his body. So things are, we got prayer, prayers being answered in the middle of a storm. So sometimes that happens. A lot of times that happens. But keep on praying for Floyd, for her continual strength. We want to let you know that Pat and Anna, keep on praying for Pat and Anna. Pat has been in the hospital pretty well all week. And I don't know if that was public knowledge or not, but it is now. But Pat is home now and just regaining his strength. He'll take another week's vacation to just, he was on spring break last week, but he didn't realize he was going to spend spring break in the hospital. But I talked to him and said, congratulations, you just had the most expensive spring break vacation ever by being the Southeast Memorial. So anyway, but he is home and keep praying for him that he gets 100% back. And God worked through that with the low sodium level and just knocked him wacky. But they got him back up and walking and back with the girls. And they had a big welcome home dad sign for him when he drove in yesterday. So just awesome to have him back and keep praying for him. Keep praying for Gloria also and Jay as they deal with what she's going through with being on the kidney donor list. We always want to keep praying for them too. I know we have a lot of other prayer requests, but just right now, I just want to, I don't know if we had any online, Curtis, but sometimes, okay, no. Let's just have a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to come to you, and I want to thank you for the prayers that have been gone up, Lord, that have been answered. You have answered so many prayers this week. Lord, we don't want to take that for granted. Lord, we just want to come to you and thank you for who you are and the power that you have. Lord, I ask that you be with Karen and the entire family. That tomorrow is a day of your powerful, sustaining presence to give her strength. But let them, in the middle of that, experience your peace. Lord, thank you for taking care of Pat in the way you did. Thank you for letting him be released at the time that you did. Lord, thank you that he didn't get anything else while he was there, for being there that long. Lord, thank you for answering prayer for Charlie Ernst, Lord. We just ask that you be with Debbie and him in a powerful way. May we see your hand so powerfully in this that we know you're in control. Lord, we know that you're in control of Gloria being on that kidney donor list. You never rush to answer because you have a perfect timing. If we get antsy, it's because of our lack of faith or our lack of patience. But Lord, most of all, we just trust in you and your care. Lord, you're doing a lot of things behind the scenes here at church. A lot of things with our family, a lot of things with the community that, Lord, some people don't even see, but we don't need to see it all. We just know that you're working. And however you're working, Lord, bring the pieces together to where it always glorifies you in everything that we do. It's not about us, Lord. It's about you. Be with the service now. When we just slice into your living bread today, Lord, let it be fresh, new, revealing, a revelational truth that we can apply to our lives and draw us closer to you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Boy, it's one of those days you can just pray and pray and pray. So I appreciate that. Let's sing another song, and then we'll call the ushers up. Because I think this is... Listen to the words as you sing this song. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance. Jesus is there. What a far taste of
if the ushers can come forward, and while they're doing that, we'll let you know what kind of announcements we have. Don't forget, the Sunday school classes meet before church with Philip and Becky's class, and then after church on Zoom with Philip and Monica's class. So I just need to let you know that we will have a work day next Saturday. As you can tell by looking at the flower beds and the plants that are hanging on the front porch. We already got some people doing some awesome work, and I thank you for whoever has done those things and appreciate your efforts and the beauty that they bring. We will have a huge event the Saturday before Easter with the community's Easter egg hunt. So let that be known that we need to kind of make sure the grounds look good and everything's good to go with that. So we'll have a work day next Saturday from 9 to noon. I don't think it's going to be a huge work day. I don't think there's a lot to do. We're going to try to get seniors like, what are you talking about, young man? We're only talking about a portion of the golf course. We're not going to use all of it. And we will be taking up some of the carpet on a couple of the holes that are just too bad, and picking up and cleaning up and making sure everything. So I think 9 to noon. Ladies, if you want to come, or just guys that don't want to get out into that and can't really walk around and make it around the golf course, okay, we will have things that you can do inside. We have the DVD movie in the bag. Those need to be stuffed in to prepare for the Easter egg hunt. Everybody that comes that day will get a free Jesus movie of his life that was produced by Campus Crusade for Christ years ago. The best movie, probably, biblically sound movie on Jesus' life. Each family will get a free DVD of that when they come through, and some other items. So that'll be next Saturday. I believe there's some eggs that may go out. If you want to take eggs to go out today and bring them back filled with candy, they're all gone. God bless. Okay. I have 1,000 at home that I will be filling this week. I start filling them, and then I open them up and eat all the candy. So I just keep refilling them. But I have 1,000 eggs that will be filled eventually and brought to the church. But I just got to stop eating the candy before I put them in. So I bought candy that I didn't like. That's what I remember. I'm teasing. But anyway, if you want to help with that, and there may be eggs that day to fill with candy also, be some things. Also, that'll be this coming Saturday, 9 to noon. And if we don't need those hours, we're not going to keep you here just to have those hours. But it'll just be nice to have a little bit of walking around to make sure everything's in order. We won't be dealing with any of the new part of the building or in the driveway that's muddy and all that. We're going to keep people away from that. And Jack, the entrance that you created months ago is going to be a blessing to us right now because it gets in a wonderful way for the Easter egg hunt now. Friday, Good Friday night, 7 o'clock right here. I will let you know Friday when they leave school of that week, we will have this building completely cleared out. So we can have all the room for our Good Friday service at 7 o'clock and all the room in here for our Easter Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. So Easter weekend is huge. And also, if you come Palm Sunday, which is next Sunday, I'm going to be sending you home. I don't even have one for myself. With a devotional that I have to be honest, I was mad at Annie for the last 2 weeks trying to write this. Do you have it with you, Annie?
I do.
I wrote a devotional at Annie's request for everybody to have a devotion of each day starting on Palm Sunday. So when you come next Sunday, you will get this, and it'll be complete because I'm not finished with it yet. But it has each day what I would like for you to read in your own devotional time. And then at the bottom, it will have scripture that I'd like for you to read. So each day of Passion Week, we will be together as a church family reading this and in the scriptures together. And it goes through every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And Wednesday was tough to write a devotion on because per scripture, nothing is said about Wednesday. Why? So remembering my mind is kind of goofy, but this is my life lessons that I want to get out of Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday. And you will be getting this next week when you leave church. And I want, just as a church family, just join us and be with us together and go through all the scripture. And please note, as you read this, the scripture at the bottom to look up is more important than the words that I wrote. Okay? Always. You go, Greg's kind of goofy here that day. Ignore that. Go to the scripture and you'll be fine. But we're going to give this to you next week. So make sure you come next week. And we will not have hundreds of these left. Come next week to get it. And that's when you'll get it. There won't be hardly any extra because these are going to be kind of costly to print off. So, okay. Gilbert, when you go past Amy, make sure she gets that for me here because I know she's going to hang on to that. She is editing it this week to make sure I didn't say anything wrong. So I'm teasing. Anyway, so we'll take up our offering now. So may God bless you as you give and to the ministries that you go to. We still are working on the parking lot bids. We're working on getting the engineer and the architectural plans approved, Jack, for the digging underneath the parking lot and the electric to be completely green tagged so we can finish up the electric side of it. And so we're kind of in jeopardy of in limbo with the city right now, but it shouldn't be too much longer. And we're going to get Miss Yell on these doors here right away. But he did finish cutting the holes in all the doors of the children's classes back there, with the exception of one, and that was at my request. We're going to wait till a little later to do that one. So, okay. But may God bless you as you give. And Jerry Perez, if we can have you lead us in a word of prayer, my friend. Thank you.
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just give you the honor and the praise, Father, for this moment, just allowing us to get together here in the sanctuary in one spirit, Father. We lift up the prayer request list before you, Father, and we just ask for blessings upon it, Father. Father, we just ask that you bless these tithes and givens, Father, as well as they're being given from the heart. We have to remind ourselves that you gave first, Father God. And we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
not doing this one.
Thank you.
Sure do, don't they? God is good.
All the time. Everything.
And right on time.
You know, I think as we enter in to what that one week means, what next Sunday is going to kind of be the kickoff for. Because he's entering through the drapes. He's been in the programs. He's been in the papers. They've already heard about the man. But now he's fixing to come in and show them his authority. That he has something special. He is not just a good teacher. He is not just evangelist that people kind of say, you know, I kind of like the way he talks. It's a little different than everybody else. He's not so fire and brimstone-y like John the Baptist. He's kind of more laid back. But boy, when he talks, it's thought-provoking. It's more than that. So he had to establish that right up front by Palm Sunday, walking through, riding through. And we're going to talk about more of that next week. But the authority that was given to him, he was getting ready to establish it. And I don't think you can fathom, that we can fathom, what kind of chaotic times it was back in those days. But as you look into your word in the Gospel of John, go ahead and turn there. Get around to chapter 14. Because that's where we're going to hang for a few minutes. I got to finish this one today because next week's Palm Sunday, so we got to finish this. But I don't think we can understand what kind of chaotic mess it was. But then again, maybe we can, because this world's kind of been chaotic lately, right? I don't know of any time, probably in my lifetime, that's been more chaotic. Maybe with the exception of wartime, you know, World War Time, those type of wars. We're always in a war, but a battle someplace. But maybe that was a little more chaotic than what it is now. There's so many things going on in the world today that I want to just kind of let you be aware of. And I know there's people online that need to hear this too. So don't turn on the NCAA games. I don't think they start till after lunch anyway. Where do we find truth anymore? We have so many things that you can go to a store and buy that have the claims right on the package. Take this pill. And you'll lose weight. Well, I've got those bottles of pills. But I don't think the claims were quite right. You with me? You got to take them. Okay. I purchased them. But there's claims of people that never happen. Advertisers are famous for saying things that are just flat not true about their products. And those statements often cause us to become skeptical, even when we should know without a shadow of a doubt that these claims are not just claims, but they say that they're facts. I don't know who in the political world, when they say anything, I believe it anymore. whatever party, doesn't matter. Now, I want you to see this. We live in a world that's so unsettled right now. We live in a world that's so unsafe right now. We live in a world that's so divided right now. Where do you find hope? And do we even have the ability to get hope? There's one statement that I want to make sure we focus on. A lot of statements that Jesus made. But the one I want to break down into three different parts. And hopefully you'll see it like you've never seen it before. John 14. You may already know where I'm going. Verse 6. Jesus made this statement, this advertisement, this tweet out, this lambast statement. And there's so much power in this one sentence. And if you're there, John 14, 6, say, oh, yeah. Right. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by me. I am the avenue for the Father, to the Father. Why does this scripture matter? Why does this scripture give me hope? Number one, Jesus is the way. For all of those people that are lost, I want you to catch this. I want you to take this like you've never taken scripture before. It's not too hard to get lost today. The journey of life is so unpredictable today. There's so many voices out there trying to get us to take different paths for this life to have any kind of real meaning for us at all. And we start this because we ask directional questions of even kids, like the little britches that just walked through. What do you want to be when you grow up? It's a directional question. What journey are you planning on taking to get there? Do you know the five top answers that kids give are these. When they're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Number one, a pro athlete. Okay. We didn't say these were intelligent questions, answers, just their answers. But then watch this. The second most popular, doctor. The third most popular, teacher. The fourth most popular, veterinarian. And the fifth most popular, a firefighter. It's fascinating to me that four out of the five is helping other people, making an impact on other people. Interesting, but that's for another day. Not what we're talking about today. Then, as the kids grow up older, we say, parents, you know, son, daughter, you just can't make it in this world without a college education. So you already planted in their mind the only direction that you're going to have for success in life is to take that direction. Another directional statement. And it's just thrown out there. And I'm not anti-college by any means. But the only way that we tell our kids so many times, the only way to have a productive life is you have to go off to college. So we encourage them to pursue that journey. But does it guarantee a successful life?
No.
Absolutely. Is college difficult? Is college confusing? I got in more trouble at college than I did any other time in my life because I was hundreds of miles from any kind of parenting, which I loved that, but I was finally free. But college is difficult and confusing as well. You know, 40% of all college grads take positions that don't require a degree or anything that they had gone to college for. They get a degree and don't use it. Then 26% of all college grads have a job that's related to another major that wasn't even their major in college. I had so much college. I changed my degree so many times, my major so many times. Started out in music, business administration, radiologic technology, court reporter. And I went into all those relate to mortician. Finally got a degree in that. Music, what sense did that have? Am I doing anything with that today? No. And you just keep on piling on. Well, I'm dealing with, well, the church dead people, but you know, you guys are kind of dead. I can relate some of that to that, but that's about it. Have all those other things that sometimes we just don't use, but we're being told you just can't make it in life without that. And I'm not anti-college by any means. It's easy to get lost. What about, gotta be real here, emotionally lost? Hang on to this. 16.7 million adults in the United States right now deal with depression. 16.7. Over 40 million adults over the age of 18 battle an anxiety disorder. 40 million. Nearly, this is the one that tears me up. One out of three adolescents meet the criteria of an anxiety disorder by the age of 18. Clearly, the direction that we're taking isn't working so well. We're confused. We're lost. We're looking for hope and we can't find it, or these numbers wouldn't be in the millions. That's just what Christ came to provide for us. I want you to see this. Not a religion to control people, but a way of life. He said, I am the way. A life that is liberating, a life that is life-giving, one that actually works. A life that actually works. He says something else in John 10:2. Write that one down. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. Great scripture, but that ain't all of it. What's the rest of it? And they follow me. So he's saying, I have a voice. They know my voice. They listen and they follow me. We don't have to create the path. We don't have to get out the machete and start going through all the weeds path. All we have to do is when we're confused and wanting to find a way through our life journey is to simply follow him. Why? Because of that staple we just started off with. I am the way. Not a way. Not one of many ways. I am the way. Following Jesus is the way to live your life. We can choose to live a life by following somebody else, but it's always going to lead us to confusion every time. Jesus is saying, I am that way. Not only listen to him, not only follow him, but imitate him. Following him through each step of our life. So many people in this room have been exposed to religion. Many of you fall into that category. The only knowledge you have of Jesus is religion. Here's a life-changing word that maybe you all need to hear. Religion is not the way. Jesus is the way. So don't follow me. Don't follow the Baptist. Don't follow the Pope. Don't follow the Methodist, whatever they call him. Don't follow Jesus. He's the way. He's the one we need to follow. Jesus is inviting us to not have a religion. He's inviting us to have a relationship with him that will provide you a way of life in this crazy and confusing world that we live in. You're just out of your mind. You don't know what you're going to do and how to get through it. You're following something wrong. Because he says, I'm the way. I'll get you through it. We should all take every one of our directional cues from him in life. He's going to help us navigate the unknowns. He's going to help us navigate relationships. He's going to help you navigate jobs and careers and money and future, your emotions, your stress, your anxieties, your loneliness, your brokenness. He navigates every one of those because together it's called life. And life happens all the time to us. And we need his directional cues to get through the way, to the way. Religion doesn't navigate anything for us, but Jesus does. And your job is to follow. All you have to do is follow him. If you feel lost today, bring all those broken pieces to the man that said, I'm the way. Number two, Jesus is the truth. I know there's a lot of skepticism, and we already talked about that, that there's no truth in today's world. Do you ever feel that you get that if you get the whole truth about something in this world, it's going to shock us because we just don't get truth about anything? Certainly not the media. The media is a joke anymore. But let's be honest. The media is not what it used to be when there was only ABC, CBS, and NBC. Because there's only three choices. Not what it used to be when you had Walter Cronkite and Patrick Swayze and all those guys. I don't know who all the others back in those days. I wasn't born yet. When you only had those three. Because now it's a dog-eat-dog world. There's only so many viewers out there, and I have to do whatever I can to get you in. They do this on the internet. Have you ever got this? You see an advertisement or something, and it tells you on there, wait till the very end. Something exciting is going to happen. Uh-uh. It doesn't. 9 out of 10 times. It's just to keep you on longer. They're trying to hook you. So that's why every meteorologist in Houston puts the fear of God that we have another hurricane coming when it's only going to sprinkle. That's why Frank Billingsley, and I love you, Frank, but let's be honest. Winter flurry blast, news at 10. You get that around 7:30. Said, oh, my lands, is it going to get cold? And you get on your little thing and you go, okay, it's only going to get 48 next week. But it's a wintry blast. And they just throw that out there so they can grab you. It's a dog eat dog. So they're doing anything. They don't care about truth. All they care about is capturing you and getting you in their market, in their accountability to be able to say, oh, we have so many people listening and watching and all of that. Please, there's no truth anymore. That's why it's so important that we understand that Jesus is the truth. What about science? What has science done to us? Because we used to always depend on science, right? Yeah. Global warming. Let's have a debate on that. That changes every other day. What about the food we eat? 5 years ago, everybody ought to quit coffee. Now, coffee's good for you. Years ago, chocolate was terrible. Now, dark chocolate, good for you. They don't even know. I'm waiting for the day right before Jesus comes when scientists come out and say on the news broadcast right between Bachelor and Grey's Anatomy, there's a little blurb. Scientists say McRibs are good for you. More at 10. I'm going to be watching that show. I'm going to be watching that news broadcast because it's bad for you now. I just wait. There'll be a day it could be good for us. It could be. You never know. Truth, it keeps changing. How can truth keep changing? Our morals keep changing. And you watch. They're on a game plan right now to be able to shift how we do church and what we have to allow in and not, and what we have to consider to hire and not, and why we have to be able to have people up here and perform marriages that we don't believe in or not. Be careful. It's happening. You better know what the truth is, folks, because the world isn't giving it to you. It's giving you baloney right now in the worst possible way it could. But let me just keep, I know we're going to keep going. John 18, turn to this. This is good. A lot of scripture here, but this is good. I want you to see this. Because this has to deal with us for that final week of Jesus' life. I want you to see this. The Roman Empire was built on baloney. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and had what? How many unlawful trials did he have? How many unlawful beatings did he have? Before he was finally taken to Pilate, woke him up early that morning. Pilate comes out in his bathrobe, or at least sleep in his eyes, and said to the Jewish leaders, "This is a religious matter. What are you doing bringing it to me?" And the Jewish leader said, "We can't kill him. Only you can." Read it. John 18:28 goes like this. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now, it's early morning. They've already had all these old trials. Jack, I don't know how many times you've been to Harris County Courthouse and they had a 2 a.m. trial. I don't think it happens. They have banker's hours at Harris County Courthouse, okay? And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So they're going by their religious rites, rituals. Verse 29. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing to this man? He's not happy. He's been woken up. It's early in the morning." "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone." You hearing this? They objected. Verse 32. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death that he was going to die. Pilate then went back into the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" 34. "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "I'm a Jew," Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" And Jesus said, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would go fight a free fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "Oh, you're a king then," said Pilate. Now watch this. All of that was prelude. Watch this. And I hope you're ready. It's powerful. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." He's the way. He's the truth. That's the reason he came to the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And listen to Pilate's response. "What's truth?" responded Pilate. With this, he went out to the Jews, gathered there, and said, "I find no basis to charge against this man. But it's your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the King of Jews?" And they shouted, my version, "Ain't no way. Let Barabbas go." Now Barabbas had taken part in the uprising. The world is longing, folks, for truth, real truth, absolute truth. You say, truth about what? We're going a little bit longer here, but I want to finish this. Truth about what? His truth about how friendships work, how relationships work. Truth about your emotions. Truth about your purpose. He's the truth about fulfillment. He is the truth about eternity. He is the truth about peace. He is the truth about love and how much God loves you. Jesus is the way to lead your life and the truth that you can trust in. Matthew 7, 22 through 29. Write it down. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it didn't fall because it had foundation on the rock." Look at this verse here. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and don't put them to practice," we can just summarize it, "is a fool." You're foolish. Like a fool that built his house on sand. The rain came down. The rivers rose, the streams rose, the creeks rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and the house, the life that it signifies, falls in. When Jesus had finished, people were astonished at his teaching because he talked with one that had authority and not as the teachers of the law, because he's saying this is how to apply the word of God. And it's all on truth. He's the way. He's the truth. A lot of people think that once you become a Christian, you get the get out of a broken world free jail card like we get in Monopoly. Get out free jail. You get that. Oh, you put in jail? Okay, here's my card. You think that's the way it is in a broken life and a broken world? Oh, no. We're still in it. We still have to deal with it. We still have to battle with it. We still have the emotions with it. We still have all of that stuff with us. But the third thing, and real quick, I'm going to finish it up. I'm going to get there. I'm riding a horse and hitting hard. Three, Jesus is the life. He's the life for those who feel empty inside. Let's be honest. When you follow the wrong directions in life and believe things that are not true, you will experience unbelievable emptiness. Emptiness. A void. So you start reaching for things to fill the void. But you can't, because there's only one thing in this universe that can truly fill the void. It's right here. Jesus. I am life. Without him, we're reaching for the wrong things. And you may have tried it. We've all tried it, right? And you always want to fall for those, oh yeah, the alcohol and drugs. We fall for a lot of other stuff, folks. Don't give it. It's not just that. Power. Yeah. Things. Shopping. Although Steinmart is back in business, Jane, just letting you know. All of those things. And then you go home at night. You know, I still feel empty. I'll have another Twinkie. I'll have another bowl of ice cream. And it doesn't fill. Because if you don't have Jesus, you're always going to be empty, folks. Nothing else fills the void but Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 2, 4 through 5. Write this down. Jeremiah 2, 4 through 5. God warned about this years ago. Years ago in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 2, verse 4. Listen to the word of God, people of Jacob, all you families of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What did your ancestors find wrong with me that led them to stray so far from me? They worshiped worthless idols, only to become worthless themselves. You want life? Then follow the one that created life, that is life. Folks, you will become what you pursue in life. You pursue empty things? Congratulations. That's exactly what you get back. Emptiness caused people to fill up with lots of different things. But if we pursue the life giver, you get to experience life. John 10:10. The devil's game plan. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the world's giving you. All of that. But Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what it's all about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He did not say that I come so that you'll be miserable or confused or unbalanced. And my heart just breaks for people that reject that. Why would anybody in this room or anybody that's heard my voice in these scriptures today reject? I don't want that. I got this on my own. I think I've handled it pretty well, Greg. When Jesus is saying, that's the three things that I'm going to provide for you. A way, the truth, and the life. And all you have to do is accept him. In Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's me that no longer lives, but Christ that lives in me. So I give in this earthly body by. Now look at this. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus came to be the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Easter is all about. Yeah, we have the egg hunts and the stuff to minister to the families. We use that as a ploy to love on the families. But the life-changing experience is only through Jesus Christ. Two short scriptures just to write down, and I'm done because I know I'm way long. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart. I will put in you a new spirit. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. I don't know if there's, I'm sure this isn't original, but it's the great exchange. He exchanges all of that life for all the junk that I have in mind. why haven't you made the exchange? Last scripture, John 1:12. And this is the one I want you to think about all day, all next week, and make sure you have this in your life. But to all who believe in him and accepts him, he gave the right to become children of God. Just receive that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Now, you have someone to follow that will never, ever lie to you.
Amen.
And it's life, and it's found in Jesus. Dear Lord, we come to you right now. You know the hearts. You know the ones that's listening in this room and the ones that's listening online that need this message, this word. That we've probably one of those verses that we've all had memorized. It's the way, the truth, and the life. We've memorized that, but we don't catch the true meaning of that. Lord, show us truth today. Show us the way today. Give us that life, Lord, that we all need. And Lord, I know there's people that haven't made that commitment or that choice. I don't understand why. In this crazy world, the one thing that I know for certain in my life is I believe in you, and I need you, and I accept you, and I want to be one of yours. And Lord, you've done that for me. May that be the same situation each person that's sitting here. Let them make that decision right now to call upon your name. Jesus, I believe in you. I want to accept you. I know you are the truth. I know, Lord, you are the way that I need to go. Give me life. And Lord, in that simple prayer, let their sins be forgiven, and then realize that life has now been placed in their heart instead of all the junk the world gives us. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that that word has always been true. Mm-hmm. And will never, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will it ever have an untruth in it. We need that foundation. We give you the praise and glory. Be with us, Lord, and may decisions be made for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Thanks for joining us online this morning. God bless you. Have a good week. Be with us next week right here at 10 o'clock a.m. God bless you.